How many of you find out that sometimes the things that really are of the least importance creeps to the top of your priority list, and sometimes the things that ought to be most important gets pushed down to the bottom? And it's just life. You notice the most important things of life usually do not compete for your attention. Are you thinking about this? And a lot of times the most petty things of life are the things that are constantly demanding your attention. And you have to learn to not live by pressure, but live by principle. Let me say that again. You cannot live by pressure. You've got to live by principle. A lot of times this is pressuring you, and this is pressuring you, this group of people, this person's pressuring you. And so you start responding to pressure and trying to make everybody happy what we need to do is just learn to live by principle, and let principles help us set our priorities. Now, there are some wonderful things that we're reminded in the scripture concerning this idea of peace. When your priorities get out of whack, one of the things that happen is soon you lose peace of mind, peace of heart. When your priorities are right, it doesn't mean that you don't have problems, and it doesn't mean that it fixes everything, but just living with proper priorities, it's amazing what that does inside of you. You may not get something done, but you've got the most important things done. And you can still, listen, I can't get everything done. We were talking about this morning, I was talking to somebody at the back door and talking about, seems like, you know, the harder the work I work, the farther behind I get. And but you know what you learn to do at some point? You do what you can do every day. And if you've maintained proper priorities, you know what? He giveth his beloved sleep. And have you figured this out? Whatever you don't get done, it'll still be waiting tomorrow. It doesn't go away. It'll be right there. And staying up all night worrying about it isn't going to help a bit. It'll be there waiting when you get up. And so everybody, we've got to do the best we can. I do discourage myself sometimes when I get to the end of the day and realize that the things that should have been priority that day somehow got lost in the shuffle of events and circumstance, and sometimes out of our control, but most of the times things that we could have just said, okay, all right, I know that needs to be done, but it doesn't have to be done now. I'm not going to sacrifice this for this, and to keep your priorities correct. Now, we're kind of chasing this word peace around in the Bible, because I think as you study the word peace, it helps you to understand and set proper priorities. Because, like I said, when priorities are right, the peace tends to be automatic. So in Philippians chapter number 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 4. And we've already spoken had two of these lessons so far. A commitment to righteousness produces peace. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. I love Psalm 37:37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And one of the priorities that you have to set if you want peace of mind and peace of heart is a commitment to righteousness. Do the right thing. Choose to do right. If you choose to do right, doesn't mean that that choice is always an easy choice. But if you choose to do right, there is a built-in reward with that, and that is that you do not have to live with the guilt of a wrong choice. If you do wrong, then it steals peace. If you do right, it increases peace in our life. So the priority that produces peace, number one, is a commitment to righteousness, a commitment to do the right thing. And then we spoke last, 2 weeks ago, a love for the Bible produces peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And encouraged ourselves in making that a priority. Make the Word of God a priority in your life, and the love for that book. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, we're going to look at this morning. A proper mindset produces peace. A proper mindset produces peace. Now, young people, look at me, and let me have your hearts and your minds this morning. As you transition into adulthood, and that happens throughout your teenage years. You're transitioning, young men, from boyhood to manhood. Young ladies, you're transitioning from being a girl to a young lady. One of the marks of maturity is the management of your mind and deciding that you're going to not just let your mind wander around and be non-productive, but you're going to begin to discipline your thinking and make sure that your mindset, your thinking, is right. So if you'll listen carefully, I'm going to help you with this. You can choose, with God's help, the right things to think about. And if you have the right mindset and you're thinking about the right things, it's going to produce peace. If you allow yourself to think about the wrong things, you know what? You're going to be in turmoil. You're going to lose peace. And so this portion of Scripture is a wonderful portion of Scripture. It gives us several pieces of instruction that helps us to learn to produce the right mindset. Verse 4, let's read the portion of Scripture. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's command number 1. Command 2, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's the second command concerning the right mindset. Number 3, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the fourth admonition there. Notice the result, verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So that's the goal, that's the reward. Then the fourth piece of advice, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Fourth piece of advice. Then the final one, number 5, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us as we study the Bible. Heavenly Father, we do want to come to you and ask, Lord, that you would illuminate your word to us. Dear Holy Spirit, please be very active in this hour and help us. Lord, all of us have different needs. And all of us are going through different things. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that you're a wonderful and great God. And thank you for sending your Spirit, Heavenly Father, to help us to learn the Bible and to bring to our attention the things that we need for where we are in life. So please tailor make this Sunday school lesson and minister to every person, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 different admonitions that will help us to keep the proper mindset, and the proper mindset will produce peace in our lives. Number 1. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. If you look up that word rejoice, it means to be cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. It says to be personal, especially as salutation on meetings and partings. Be glad, wish someone Godspeed, to greet someone, to hail someone, to joyfully rejoice. So it's kind of interesting that this command of rejoicing is part of your interaction with other people. Now think about that. The proper mindset. How do I accomplish that, Brother Jerry? How can I think in such a way that's going to help me to have the peace of God in my life that passeth all understanding? Here's the first thought. I'm going to summarize it like this. I will cheerfully influence every person I meet for the Lord. I will cheerfully influence every person I meet today for the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Remember, this is not saying to have joy, it's saying to take a step beyond having joy. It's saying to rejoice. If you are joyful, it can be in here. If you're rejoicing, it's an outward expression of that. Well, I don't feel like it. The Bible doesn't say rejoice if you feel like it. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, but I have problems. The Bible doesn't say don't rejoice if you have problems. It says rejoice in the Lord always. 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 I guess the God that put that word in there figured we'd have problems and figured that we'd have heartaches and figured we'd have days we don't feel good and figured that we'd be, under attack on some days and physically not well. You know what the Bible says? All right, I got it. Here's the command: rejoice. Now you say, preacher, that just doesn't make sense. What are you saying? Are you saying just to fake it? No, I'm not. I think what the Bible's saying is this: when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. See, folks, here's the thing. You say, well, I'm supposed to go out there and just be happy and greet people in a cheerful manner. Listen, your interaction with people ought to be to you a ministry. A ministry. You know, those of you that are bus workers, you got up early this morning and you got on your bus route, and you know what? If you did the right thing, you had a word of prayer before you took off. And you know what you did? You set your mind. You set your mind for what you are about to do. These kids are coming on these buses. You know what? They need to meet a smile. They need to meet a cheerful greeting. Oh, what are you doing? You're setting aside for a time your problems. Are you getting this? You know, some of you young people, you're immature in this area. You wake up, you're not feeling good, and everybody is going to pay for it. You have a bad day, everybody's going to pay for it. You know, you know, something doesn't go your way. Mom and Dad won't let you do something. Okay, you're going to walk around, everybody's going to pay for it. The Bible says, listen, you set your mind to rejoice. You set your mind to minister to people through every interaction of the day. Now, the Bible's telling us that to rejoice means to salute people in meeting them, in parting, to wish them Godspeed, to be glad, to greet them in a joyful, rejoicing manner. That is the command of God. Now, you may be experiencing some personal hurt, but rejoice in the Lord always. You may not be feeling well, but rejoice. Preacher, we've had this situation, and it came up this week, and it's heavy on my heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. You see, listen, what we need are Christians to go out from this assembly and go out as missionaries, watch this, of cheerfulness. Here's the thought I want to give you on this main point here, and then we'll move on because there's five things. But here's the thought I had when I was preparing this. You know what? Every day I'm an advertisement for God. I'm either a good advertisement or a bad advertisement, but I'm an advertisement for the Christian life. I am. And I'm an advertisement. Listen, if you can do the right mindset for an hour and a half because it's ministry, then you can do the right mindset every day because, folks, listen to me, every day is ministry. Every day is ministry. Every day is an opportunity to influence. And so if you decide that you are going to cheerfully influence every person you meet for the Lord. And I like that the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, if you're just happy and positive and cheerful, but you never mention the Lord, you know what people are going to say? That's just a happy, cheerful person. But if you credit God as the opportunities come, if you glorify God, if you mention Him, then they're saying that's a happy, cheerful Christian. And so, number one, if you're going to have the proper mindset that produces peace, and I hope you're getting this. This isn't some light thing. This has the potential to be life-changing. I mean, some of you girls are so depressed all the time, and the honest truth is you got no reason to be depressed. I'm not saying you never have a problem in the world. I'm just saying, come on, compare. You need to take a look at the blessings of life and then compare them to the problems of life and realize that God's been good to you. And even if you're having a tough day, guess what? There's people out there that you can still be a blessing to. And so life is ministry. What ministry are you in? Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher, so I come here early and I pray and I put a smile on my face and I make sure that for 45 minutes I rejoice in the Lord always. I got a good idea. Why don't you get up tomorrow and just decide you're in the life ministry? The ministry of life. If we can do it by the grace of God for an hour as a Sunday school teacher, or as an hour and a half, or go to the nursing home, as some of you are going to do this month, and you say, Lord, I want to be a blessing. So you set aside problems and you say, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to forget my problems and I'm going to help these people. I'm going to be a blessing. Listen, if you can do it for an hour on a Tuesday or an hour and a half on a Sunday afternoon, then why don't you make that your life mission? I think that every Christian ought to leave behind them smiles. I think every Christian ought to leave behind them cheerfulness. And so I will cheerfully influence every person for the Lord. Now, why did God command us to do that? Because he's helping us set our priorities and have a mindset that will produce the peace of God in our life. Number two, I've got to hurry. I will be appropriate. Number two, I will be appropriate to every person as in the Lord's presence. Number one, I will cheerfully influence every person for the Lord. Number two, I will be appropriate to every person as in the Lord's presence. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. This word moderation comes from a combination of two words that are defined as being appropriate. To be mild or gentle or patient with everyone. I'm going to be appropriate to every person that I meet. So I'm going to be cheerful, and I'm going to be glad, and I'm going to be positive in this matter of influence every person, but I'm also going to be appropriate with every person as in the Lord's presence. Look up here and let me help you with this. Folks, listen to me. I want you to be friendly, but I want you to be friendly within the boundaries of being appropriate. Are you getting this? Are you thinking about it? You're not going to have the right mindset. And you're not going to have the peace that produces the right mindset if you do not put the boundaries of appropriateness in every relationship of life. Well, this is such an important thing, and it takes time to understand this. It takes time to study the Bible. Folks, you study this out. There are different types of people that the Bible tell us about. There are different responsibilities we have towards people, and there is an appropriate way to interact with people, and there's some things that would be appropriate with some people that's not appropriate with other people, and you have to use wisdom. For instance, you young ladies, you say, oh, preacher said that I'm supposed to go out and be cheerful and bubbly and friendly, and so I'm going to do it today. And so you go up to the counter at McDonald's, and there's a 16-year-old boy there, and you are cheerfully and bubbly and cheerfully and bubbly and cheerfully and bubbly, and pretty soon it has passed the boundaries of appropriateness. And pretty soon he's not thinking this is a cheerful Christian. He's thinking this is a little flirt is what he's thinking. And so there's appropriateness. You gentlemen, I'm not sending you out as missionaries to all of the teenage girls in the area so that you can share with them the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, what I'm talking about is appropriateness. Boy, this used to be something that was important in our society. I want to just say this. Men, women in our church, this is good for a preacher to say every once in a while. I want you to be friendly to everybody, but I also want you to be appropriate. Every man in this church ought to be appropriate in the way that they interact with the ladies of this church. Every lady in this church ought to be appropriate in the way that they interact with the men in this church. You see why these two things are put one, two, right in there? God says, let's go out there and be cheerful and happy and be friendly and all of that. And by the way, go out with that mindset. But understand that there's boundaries. Let your moderation, your appropriateness be known unto all men. Watch this. The Lord is at hand. Think about that. The Lord is at hand. So as I'm interacting with an individual, I want to interact with them even if there's nobody else around. And that's the test. Because as a Christian, you never are in a situation where there's no one else around. The Lord is at hand. Isn't that interesting, the way God put that in there? So what he's saying, be friendly, be kind, but be appropriate. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Okay? And so, watch the boundaries. Men, listen to me. you better study Proverbs chapter 7. You don't think there's strange women? There's more strange women in society today than there's ever been. You better be careful. Are you listening to me? You better be careful. There's boundaries. I say this to our young men, to our married men, I say it from time to time. I think it's good advice for the ladies also. Anytime I'm in a situation where I feel like a lady is being too friendly to me, and I don't mean here at the church, I mean, well, I would do it here too, but I don't have a problem here with that. But out in the world, they're just being too friendly. Some of you young guys are thinking, that old guy? Why? Well, there's old blind women out there. His eyesight's not real good, and they're rather desperate. And but hey, what are you young guys to come teach this real quick? But you know what? Boy, you're dressed sharp today. I'll say, man, my wife laid my clothes out. She always makes sure I look sharp. I'll tell you, she's incredible. Kills the situation, you know. Well, you're all dressed up. You're looking good. Where are you going today? I'm going to take my wife out on a date. We've been married 28 years. I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't be any happier. What are you doing? I'm being nice. I'm being friendly, but I'm saying there's a line. There's a line. You know, if I could, wow. In the world, and sometimes in the church, if I could get the average husband to flirt with his wife as much as he's flirting with everybody else, they could have a happy marriage. Come on now. Amen. All right. If I could get some of you ladies, no, not you, out there, some of the ladies out there, to work as hard to get your husband's attention as you do other men's attention, you could have a good marriage. Come on, I'm helping Blessed Hope right now. All right, young ladies, listen to me. I want you to make an impression on this world, but I want it to be a godly impression, a pure impression. Don't you? You got to be very careful. Sometimes y'all, I'm helping some of you because some of y'all are so sheltered, and we want it that way, and we're glad for it, and that's a blessing you are. But sometimes you don't understand the way the world thinks about things. And moms and dads, sometimes we just need to sit down and have a talk with them.
Right.
Hey, I know what you're doing, and I know you don't mean anything by it, but you've got to understand, when we're not here, it's not like here out there. Okay? And you young men need to understand that. You know, you may think you're just being nice. The world don't think the same as Christians think. And you honestly, from your heart, may just be trying to be. But you, what's the Bible say? Listen, if you're going to have the peace of God, you know, you see where we're going with this? How am I going to get three more things? And I don't know. But this is good. Whatever we cover, and it'll be good for us. I want to go out there with a mindset that I want to have a rejoicing spirit and a friendly spirit and a glad spirit and be a good testimony for the Lord. But I always want to make sure it stays within proper boundaries, because if I go out there and I'm kind to everyone, then I can have the peace of God. And if I stay in proper boundaries, I can maintain the peace of God. I don't have to worry about going home feeling guilty even in my attempt to do right. And so always watch your boundaries. Quickly, number three, I will refuse to worry. Well, this is a big one for me, and I think for most of us. This is tough sometimes. But you notice what he says here? I will refuse to worry, but instead take my concerns to the Lord in prayer. There are so many things, though this one portion of Scripture is just jam-packed. Verse 6, be careful. That means be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so God says, now, if you're going to have this peace that I'm going to talk about in verse 7, you have to understand there are real problems, there are real concerns, and it's easy for us to go to this place where we begin to just worry and be anxious and be frustrated and concerned. And God says, listen, when you find yourself going to that place, go to prayer. Go to prayer. My mindset, if I'm going to have peace, is to refuse to worry. Be anxious for, what's the next word? Now, folks, that's I think that about covers it. But that's put in there by a God who knows the level of problems and situations that we're going to have to face in life. It's not just thrown in there by someone who don't get it. This is the creator of the universe. What he's saying is there's going to be things coming to your life that causes anxiety. This is how you deal with them. You know what? Well, what do you do instead of being anxious? But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so you go to the Lord in prayer and you give these things to the Lord. I wish we had time to break this down. This matter of prayer, everything by prayer. That word prayer there has the idea of worship. And then supplication. And then thanksgiving. And then requesting. Now think about this little formula. You jot it down and you're going to have to think about it later. When I begin to worry, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go before the Lord. I'm going to do four things. I'm going to spend time worshiping him. Now, what is worship? Worship is praising God for who he is. I'm going to spend some time before him worshiping him and acknowledging his greatness and his power. And I'm going to spend time before him in worship. These four steps will diffuse worry. I'm a preacher. I'm just a worry wart. No. We worry because we do not do these things. Spend time worshiping, praising God for who he is, supplicating, reminding God that I know who I am, reminding God that I know who I am. So I praise God for who he is. Then I spend time in supplication, reminding God that I know who I am, thanksgiving, thanking God for his past and present generosities, and then a request. Bring your request, asking God for my present need. And if we took the time, when we begin to worry, to say, I'm going to spend a little time worshiping God and reminding myself how great he is and praising him for how great he is. Then I'm going to spend some time in supplication, reminding God that I know who I am. Thanksgiving, thanking God for his past and present generosity, requesting, ask God for my present need. Worshiping, supplicating, thanksgiving, request. If you take the time to do this, this isn't going to be done in a 5-second whispered prayer. If something is really bothering you and really dragging you down, preacher, I ain't got time to do all that. Well, you find time to worry for the next 2 hours, and so do I sometimes. Anybody, come on, be with me on this. Let's show our transparency. Anybody waste an entire day worrying about something before? Anybody want to go for a week? A month, a year. I mean, we're a mess sometimes. We say, well, I don't have time. To go and say, okay, this thing can either defeat me for days, or I can take a time out here. And I can go and I can spend some time before the throne of grace worshiping God and in supplication. See, a lot of the things that I worry about are not things that affect me. And come on, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, we probably worry more about others than we worry about ourselves. So supplication is that opportunity for me. Something's going on in somebody's life that I love, and it will keep me awake more than if something's going on in my life. But I can go to God in supplication for that person. I can approach the throne of grace. It means something. And then to spend time thanking God. Because, you know, that matter of thanksgiving reminds us to look backwards and realize that we're talking to somebody who in... By the way, he's got a good record. God's got a real good record. And then requesting, giving that over to the Lord. Boy, there's so much there. Number four. Again, a lot of things in this verse. The proper mindset that produces peace, I will refuse to be negative, but instead focus on things that are positive. I will refuse to be negative, but instead focus on things that are positive. God says, after you hand over that worry to me, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Then go from that situation and refocus on things that are, here's the list, true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and has virtue and has praise. I will win this battle. I will have the proper mindset. I'm going to think about things that will produce peace in my life. I will refuse to be negative. I will focus on things that are positive. And that training of the mind to purposely find things that are healthy to think about. Healthy to think about. The Bible talks about having a sound mind. The word sound, if you look it up, literally means a healthy mind, healthy thought patterns. And so focusing on those things. You know, there's a lot of lies. You can think about that, or you can think about the truth. There's a lot of dishonesty, but folks, there's still honesty. There's a lot of injustice, but thank God for He who is just. There's a lot of things that are impure, but I'm not going to think about those things. I'm going to think about things that are pure. There's a lot of ugly things going on in this world. I think I'm going to focus on the things that are lovely. There's bad reports, but there's good reports. And there's things that cause discouragement, and there's things that cause praise. I know there's a lot that we are skimming over. Let me give you number five, and we'll wrap it up. I will follow godly examples and refuse the influence of scorners. I will follow godly examples and refuse the influence of scorners. Now notice how Paul wraps this thought up. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now here's this peace. Again, promise. The God of peace will be with you. Verse 9, verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. All of these commands from verse 4 to verse 9 get us into the proper mindset that produces peace. Now, young people, I can help you a lot here. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. I'm glad Brother Paul was able to say that. Was Paul perfect? No. But Paul lived the kind of life that he could point people to and say, you know what? I want you to listen to me. I want you to learn from me. I want you to receive from me by association. I want you to hear from my teaching, but I want you to also see it in my life through observation. And if it meets all of those things, then do it yourself. And listen, be a good example and choose good examples. The quickest way to end up with a mindset that robs you of peace is to begin to learn and receive and hear and see and mimic people who are doing opposite of the Word of God. If you begin to let scorners influence your life, pretty soon the peace of God is gone. So this commitment, I know I gave you a lot of information, but this commitment to the proper mindset, I will cheerfully influence every person for the Lord. I'll be appropriate to every person as in the Lord's presence. I will refuse to worry, but instead take my concerns to the Lord in prayer. I will refuse to be negative, but instead focus on things that are... You ever had somebody come to you and they want to tell you something negative? You know, here's the best way to frustrate the life out of them. No matter what they say, spin it into something positive. Did you hear about so-and-so? They said this, they did this. Oh, they might have, but I'm going to tell you something I really like about them. You know what? They are this, and say something. It'll just drive them crazy. You know, are you getting this? You have the power to take any potential negative situation and turn it into something positive. Did you hear about this? This is going on. Yeah, you're right, it is. But I'm going to tell you, did you hear about these things? Boom, boom, boom. Give them about four blessings. Then watch them. They get mad. You know why? They don't want to hear about positive things. They don't want anything to be good. They're wallowing in negativity. They're trying to disciple you into negativity. How dare you be positive? Don't you understand there's problems? Don't you understand there's blessings? Don't you understand there's blessings? And I mean it. Just play the game. It's fun. Makes people nuts. You know what you'll find out? Sister Lou mentioned it this morning. People stop coming with you with negative things because they don't get any satisfaction from you. You're not joining their club. You're not living in that gutter. They'll stop texting you. Just text them back verses every time they send you junk. Happy verses. Rejoicing verses. I guarantee you pretty soon you won't be part of the mass text they sent out. But I won't know stuff. What a blessing. That's why you got a stinking mindset. That's why you have no peace. Amen. Pretty soon, yep, preacher, I'll be out of the loop. Join the rest of us that are out of the loop. It's a good place to be. Well, I'm helping some, if you'll let me. I'm helping some of you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this mindset that you've made available to us, Lord. Thank you for the indwelling of your Spirit and the help that we need. Help us, Lord, in the week ahead to put into practice what we've heard, to actively combat a negative or wrong mindset. Help us to be aware of people in our life that contribute to that. Help us to be determined to be a proper advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this next week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.